The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 470 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Always appreciate your comments there, your likes, your retweets at the Sports RPT. A lot of topics to get to. I'm still trying to grasp how the Celtics came back from a 21-point deficit in the third quarter on the road against a team that had not lost a single game this postseason. And if that wasn't enough, they did it without their best player, Isaiah Thomas, who's hurt. That was a Sunday night shocker in Cleveland. The LeBron haters can poke their heads out for a moment. They've been living under rocks for a while now. I'm not sure what the heck happened to LeBron in the second half, but it's only one game. The Cavs are still winning this series. No reason to get excited. The Penguins put a touchdown up on the Senators with the extra point. 7-0. Seriously? Pittsburgh's now one win away from returning to the Stanley Cup final. 7-0? Jeez. Out west, Anaheim must win tonight to stay alive. So you want to play the ponies, do you? Well, good luck. Raise your hand if you had cloud computing as the winner of the Preakness. Didn't think so. And that quickly, the Triple Crown dream ends for Always Dreaming. Although it did not play out like most expected, it sure was exciting. A record crowd of 140,000 in attendance in Baltimore for the race. And we'll end the show today on a lighter note. My experience watching my nephew play Little League Baseball. This is hilarious. It'll put a smile on your face if you're having a rough Monday. All of those stories coming up right here on the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tell your friends, your family members, your co-workers, anybody who loves sports to give the podcast a try. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk. Try to educate you a little bit as well without the homerism that you're used to. All right, let's start with hoops. I tweeted last night that the NBA stood for National Blowout Association. I mean, be honest. When the Cavs were up 21 in the third quarter of Game 3, how many of you either switched channels or went to bed? Be honest here. And I don't blame you. The way this postseason is gone, I love my hoops, but I can only take so many 20-point games. It's been a nightmare. Game 2, 130-86? What? I mean, seriously? A 44-point margin in the Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, that is an absolute joke. Who's watching that slop? Good grief. Considering that Isaiah Thomas was out with the hip injury, I thought Game 3 was headed down that road too. At 77-56, it's tough to stay interested. Cleveland, just in the first half, hit 14 three-pointers. 14! Kevin Love was on fire. He ended up with 28 points, 10 rebounds. He made 7 threes. I mean, this had all the makings of a trip to Blowout City, USA. And we've made that trip many a time this postseason. However, the beauty of sports, as I always say, is there isn't a script. And I give the Celtics a ton of credit. I really do. And I'm not a Celtics fan, far from it. They easily could have mailed this bad boy in. Already down 2-0 in the series, without their star guard who gives them over 20 a game, on the road, down 21, but they kept playing hard, kept playing and playing and playing, kept scrapping, and they fought their way back into the game. I was stunned. I'm glad that I stayed up to watch it. The ending was awesome, unless, of course, you're a Cleveland fan. Out of nowhere, Jonas Jerebko from Sweden is making shots. I mean, who is this guy? The Swedish sharpshooter. He put Boston up 2 with a long jumper with 30 seconds left. Kyrie Irving, who was brilliant in the game, he had 29. He was 10 of 15 from the field. You know I always harp on efficiency. Love to see that. He tied it with a nifty drive to the bucket with 10 seconds to go. Brad Stevens draws up a play, and give the guy credit, it worked to perfection. Avery Bradley got a wide open look from 3 from the left wing. I mean, you could not ask for a better look than what Bradley was able to get. And then he got a little bit of help from the rim, or should I say, a lot of help from the rim. The ball bounced around 4 times before falling. It's the back of the iron, goes straight up, comes down with less than a second remaining. Ball game, 111-108, Celtics on the 3 by Bradley. What an incredible comeback. Now, are they going to win this series? Heck no. But I do tip my cap to them for the effort in Game 3. I'm an effort guy. I root for the little guy. I love people that work hard. That's what life should be all about, hard work. Boston did not quit, and I respect that. So I give him credit. Marcus Smart was out of his mind. 27 points, 7 assists. He was 7 of 10 from 3. Let that settle in. The bench play was critical. If you're looking for reasons why Boston pulled off this upset, look at the bench. The Celtics reserves outscored Cleveland's 32-9. That's plus 23 in bench points. Kelly Olynyk had 15 points in 23 minutes. A lot of people up there in Boston will tell you when he plays well, they play well. Jerebko, out of nowhere, 10 points in 13 minutes. The guy couldn't miss. 4 for 4 from the field. Throw in 5 rebounds. Who anticipated that from Jerebko? Bradley really had not shot well. He was 7 of 22 before that game-winning 3-ball. He had 20 points. Boston scored 61 in the second half. And again, without Isaiah Thomas. Of course, LeBron is taking a lot of heat. And he admitted afterwards that he did not have it. No excuses, just said over and over, I didn't have it. The 11 points that he scored are the fewest, and get this, 107 career home playoff games. It's not his lowest all-time in the playoffs, but at home, it is. 1 for 8 in the second half, 1 rebound, 1 assist in the second half, no points in the fourth quarter, money time. Man, what's going on there? 6 turnovers, sloppy play. I wish that I could tell you why, but I've got no explanation. You know, a lot of people, talking heads in my line of work, they'll make something up, try and sound smart. I'm not going to do that. I can't tell you why this happened. LeBron's one of the best to ever play the game, ever. He's won multiple titles, multiple MVPs. I have no idea why he was so passive. He was a non-factor. He's going to get some criticism, no doubt, but I like to think big picture, right? So let's keep this in perspective. LeBron had scored at least 30 in 8 consecutive playoff games. He needs only 62 points to pass a guy by the name of Michael Jordan. Perhaps you've heard of him as the leading scorer in postseason history. He got the Cavs a long-awaited championship last year. So don't be a fool and go overboard here. Speaking of fools, Did you hear about that idiot fan who heckled LeBron after the game? Wait till you hear this story. Quick timeout and then back with more on that. We'll get into the Western Finals, some hockey, some horse racing, some Little League Baseball. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. iHome's introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology to help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that's important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He's the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to their website, iHomeAudio.com, and take a look at the Zenergy line of products, like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Of course, iHome has all the other good stuff, the speakers, the docking clock radios, the portable wireless speakers, the headphones, the earbuds, but check out the Zenergy line of products at iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode number 470 of the Sports Report, I'm Paul Roberts here on GrizzlyProductions.tv and, of course, in the podcast section of iTunes. Just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts. The show will come up. And if you have a second, and that's all it takes, we really do appreciate those five-star reviews. So back to LeBron and the Cavs here. A fan decides that he's going to heckle LeBron after the game. This clown had to be tuned up. I mean, I need a BAC level on this guy. LeBron is walking down a hallway to get to the post-game news conference, and some fan starts yelling at him. So LeBron actually turned around, and he asked this moron to repeat himself. It gets better. Hold on. As security's taking this fan away, he actually started giving his stats from his time as a Division III college player in Ohio. I kid you not. He's giving LeBron James his resume as a D3 college player. Oh, you can't make it up. He's yelling at one of the greatest of all time, a Locke Hall of Famer, and he's firing away with his D3 stats. I mean, too good to be true. Hashtag priceless. Happy hour must have started a little bit early for this character. Anywho, game 4 Tuesday in Cleveland. Celtics fans should not have any false hope here. Boston will not win the series. I said before the series, even when Isaiah Thomas was playing, that they had no shot here. But I do appreciate the effort in game 3. I mean, that was wild. And it was good to see a tight ending like that. And the Western Conference Finals may end tonight. The Warriors are favored by 11.5, 12 in that neighborhood. They are at San Antonio. Golden State up 3-0. Little history on the line. No team has opened an NBA postseason 12-0. The Warriors can do that with a win tonight. The Spurs, what can you say? It's injury after injury after injury here. No Tony Parker, then no Kawhi Leonard. Now they're without David Lee. Yeah, I mean, you almost hate to say what else could happen to this team. The party is over, my friends. Time to get the solo cups and put them in the trash bag. It is over. And the injuries really do stink because, you know, all season long I was waiting for Golden State San Antonio. I thought that would be the Western Finals. It is. And then you have these injuries. And again, I don't have a horse in the race here. I'm not a fan of the Spurs or the Warriors. I just like to see great basketball. I like to see great teams go toe-to-toe and see what happens when they mix it up out there. And instead, you know, you get a team that's dismantled by injuries in the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, people will forget what happened in game one before Kawhi Leonard got hurt. I mean, they weren't just winning. They were dominating. They were running the Warriors off the floor. So it is a shame about the injuries. Moving on here on episode number 470, to the ice we go. I did think that Pittsburgh would take game five at home, but 7-0? Wow. It was 4-0 after 20 minutes. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. This was a Behind the Woodshed special. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you get embarrassed. There's a difference. Ottawa got freight trained in this one. And now Ottawa trails in the series 3-2. Game 6 Tuesday at Ottawa. 7 different players scored for Pittsburgh on Sunday, including the captain, Sidney Crosby. 11 players had at least 1 point. So total team effort. The Pens were 3-for-3 on the power play, and they stopped the Senators on 4 power play chances. Ottawa is now 0-for-29 with the man advantage. I mean, you're not beating a team like Pittsburgh doing that. Matt Murray is back between the pipes for the Pens. He had 25 saves for his first playoff shutout, so he's got a lot of confidence right now. Meanwhile, Craig Anderson got pulled after a period. It did not matter who was in net. The Penguins could not be denied in this one, dominated the game. The 2-1 lead that the Senators once had in this series seems like a distant memory, doesn't it? Here's an interesting note, however, just throwing it out there. The other two teams that lost by at least 7 goals this postseason, Edmonton and Anaheim, those two teams did come back to win the next game. That's right. And they both rallied to win the series. How about that? Little hope for Senators fans, perhaps. They're certainly concerned about defenseman Erik Karlsson. He's playing with 2 hairline fractures in his left heel. I mean, you wonder how the guy can keep skating. And he said he is definitely going to play in game 6. Hockey players are tough dudes. No doubt about that. I mean, you know, these guys get hit in the face. They get cut up. They go back, they get stitches, and man, right back out there on the ice. As for the Western Conference Finals, Game 6 is tonight at Nashville. The Predators can close it out in their own barn. Anaheim lost Game 5 at home 3-1 to put them in this spot. They were even at 1 midway through the third period, and then Pontus Aberg scores his first career playoff goal. Put home a rebound as he was going down to the ice out in front. Austin Watson added the final goal for Nashville. Pekka Rinne made 32 saves. The Predators just love playing in Anaheim for whatever reason. They have won 5 of their last 7 playoff games at Anaheim. How about that? Does home ice really mean anything? Makes you wonder. The Ducks have a lot of trouble with Nashville. Both these teams really, really banged up. Ryan Johansson, the top center and leading scorer, and Captain Mike Fisher did not play in Game 5 for the Predators. The Ducks were already without not one but 2 30-goal scorers, and then they lost their goalie, John Gibson, to a lower body injury on Saturday. He only played 1 period. Bottom line, whoever wins this series will definitely be an underdog in the Stanley Cup Finals if they're facing Pittsburgh. There's no arguing that. I mean, they'd be an underdog even if they were healthy. Now when you factor in key injuries for both teams, definitely going to be an underdog if they go up against Pittsburgh, and I think that's going to happen. Marching on episode 470 of the Sports Report podcast, we head to Baltimore, the Charm City. Love hanging out down there. Fells Point, really cool area. Down by the Inner Harbor, really nice down there. The 142nd Preakness. Now, most expected a 2-horse race between Always Dreaming, the Kentucky Derby winner, and Classic Empire, who finished fourth in the Derby after an awful, awful trip. Got slammed into right out of the gate, had a swollen eye, cuts, everything. This was a much more manageable 10-horse field as opposed to 20 for the Derby. It's also the shortest leg of the Triple Crown at 1 3/16. I wasn't even sure that I was going to bet the Preakness because I was still getting over the punch to the gut that I took in the Kentucky Derby. Quick recap if you missed that story from before. I had the first two horses in a trifecta, Always Dreaming and Looking at Lee. I had them in a trifecta. My buddy gave me the horse that finished third, Battle of Midway, which was a 40-1 shot. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, in my infinite wisdom, I did not include Battle of Midway in my trifecta because nobody was talking about the horse and he was a super-duper long shot. I thought he had no chance. If he would have won, that trifecta ticket would have paid $8,300. That's right, more than $8,000, which I would have split with my friend Scott. So we're still making over $4,100 each. Just brutal. So I was still frustrated. And because of that, I really wasn't as into the Preakness as I usually am. I only played one trifecta for $12, and I am glad that that's all I spent because the results were stunning at Pimlico. Always Dreaming and Classic Empire were right next to each other, the 4 and 5 post positions, and they went right out to the front, and it looked like this could be a match race. They were the top two betting choices by far. But midway through the final turn, Todd Pletcher's horse, Always Dreaming, faded. He was in position to win, just ran out of gas. And that's what makes winning the Triple Crown so difficult. These horses are not used to racing every 2 weeks. It is a grind. And the Derby was on that sloppy track. You know, took something out of him, obviously. So Always Dreaming ends up 8th. Out of 10 horses. Big, big disappointment for the folks at Belmont Park up in New York because now you don't have any buzz for a potential Triple Crown winner this year. And that's definitely going to hurt the gate up there and it'll definitely hurt TV ratings as well. So with Always Dreaming, the 6-5 favorite out of the picture, it looked like this was Classic Empire's race to win. He led by 3 lengths going into the stretch. And I thought it was over. I really, really did. I know I'm not alone. Some were definitely celebrating too soon. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is a lock in horse racing. And out of nowhere comes the number 2 horse, Cloud Computing. A 13-1 shot. He looked like he was shot out of a cannon down the stretch. I mean, talk about turning it on. He put in another gear and then some. So Cloud Computing was charging hard on the outside of Classic Empire. This was a thriller. I mean, it was so, so close down the stretch. They were stride for stride. In the end, Cloud Computing pulled off the upset by a head in a time of 155.98 seconds, just under 1 minute and 56 seconds. A 31-1 shot, Senior Investment, came in third, another one of the new shooters in this race. He was nearly 5 lengths back, but ends up hitting the board. How unlikely of a winner is Cloud Computing? Well, this was only his 4th career start, only his 2nd win, and it comes in the Preakness. Trainer Chad Brown had never won a Triple Crown race before, never. He's known as a guy who only wins on turf. Well, not anymore, can't say that now. A jockey, Javier Castellano, had never been on Cloud Computing before this race. This horse did not even run as a two-year-old due to injury. Last year did not even run. Oh, man, oh, man. In horse racing, you just never know. And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it exciting. You know, people can win just by picking their favorite color or their favorite name or their favorite number. I mean, you look at the horses that were first and third here. Man, oh, man, oh, man. But I go back to before the Kentucky Derby. A lot of the horse racing writers that I was reading, they were all talking about how there wasn't a dominant horse this year. And now you look back and see how this thing played out. I think they're right. You know, this was just a year where you did not have that one stud superstar horse. I think you had some good horses, but no juggernauts. And now, you know, the Belmont will be wide open. You know, who knows who's going to end up running there. I wouldn't be shocked if you have some more long shots coming in here. So you could find some good value in the Belmont. Plus, it's the longest race of the three. These horses have never gone this type of distance. So, you know, just flip a coin there. But you should get some good value in the Belmont. But unfortunately, the buzz is gone now that you don't have a Triple Crown contender. Finally, here on episode number 470 of the Sports Report, Paul Roberts hanging out with you each and every Monday on grizzlyproductions.tv and also in the podcast section of iTunes, where we love to see those five-star reviews. I want to get to Little League Baseball. Most of us have played it, right? These kids that I'm watching play with my nephew, they're 6, 7 years old. I mean, they're little guys out there. It's pure joy watching these games. Number one, the parents aren't screaming at the coaches, not screaming at the umpires. They don't even have umpires. The coaches just stand around the bases and call out or safe, and the coaches pitch to the kids. So that is refreshing. But on Saturday, let me just give you a rundown of some of the events here. No, it'll make you chuckle. A mom tells her son, her kid's in the on-deck circle, so he's practicing, taking some mighty cuts, and she's, you know, kind of near the fence, and she yells to her son, keep your eye on the ball, which, by the way, if I could get a nickel for every time I hear that, I could retire now, and I'm not even 40, all right? Always hear the keep your eye on the ball as if they're looking at something else. So who knows? At this age, maybe they are. You know, a bird soars overhead, they get distracted. But anyway, she says, keep your eye on the ball. And without blinking, this kid replies, he says, when can I have some cookies? And I guess the mom said somehow they had cookies in the car. But, I mean, of all the responses, she says, keep your eye on the ball. That's it. And he turns around and says, when can I have some cookies? What does that have to do with the great game of baseball? Oh, man, I was almost in tears at that, the cookie comment. And then my nephew, he's sliding into second base, third base, home. Never mind the fact that the ball isn't anywhere near the base. I mean, there is no play at the base that he's going to. And then afterwards, he said, I just wanted to practice my sliding. My coach said it was okay. So he's out, hey, he's getting dirty. You know, nothing annoys me more than when there is a close play in the big leagues and guys don't slide. So, hey, he's playing Little League. He's sliding out there. That and, oh, this is funny, too. They're constantly overrunning second base. One of the few ways that they get outs is when these players overrun second base, because they know they can run through first base, so they forget that you can't run through second base. So they just take off, and they run straight through the bag, and then sometimes they get tagged out. One of the few times you get outs. That and running home for a force play when the bases are loaded, which they almost always are because they can't get outs. So the bases are almost always loaded. And then sometimes you get a little dribbler back to the pitcher's mound and maybe you'll have a decent kid there and he'll pick it up and scramble home before the kid can score from third. Those are usually the two ways that they get outs. One kid This was funny. One kid ran from third base. He was on third base, and the ball's hit. He ran from third base straight into the dugout. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. He didn't run home. He ran into the dugout. And they had to yell at him to get out of there and run to home plate. Oh, but it is fun to watch, though. It will make you smile. And I still love baseball. I know some people think it's boring, it's too slow. I still love it. But watching these little league kids, and that comment about the cookies, that made the weekend right there. I hope you had a great weekend. I'll be with you again next Monday, which is Memorial Day. How about that? Time flies when you're having fun. Oh, real quick. Got to give a shout out here to a guy playing in my town, and that is Scott Kingery of the Reading Fightin' Phils. That's the AA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. This guy's a second baseman. I may have mentioned him before. Aaron Judge has 15 homers in 39 games. Scott Kingery has 13 homers in 37 games. And he's a little guy. He's a little second baseman, but he's scrappy, plays great defense. Terrific with the glove at second. This year, he's hitting for power, which he never did before. Wasn't recruited heavily at all coming out of high school because he was so small. Walked on in Arizona and became a terrific player in the Pac-12. And now he's on the fast track in the Philly system. So just remember this name, Scott Kingery. 13 homers for a second baseman in 37 games. And he can play defense, and he can run. He steals bases, too. I'm wondering how soon he's called up to AAA. But just wanted to give him a little mention there. Definitely deserves it. So have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again on Monday. This has been episode number 470 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.